720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio, and excited to have on the line one of the most iconic voices in music, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, headliner when it comes to both concerts and cocktails, the Red Rocker himself, the one and only Sammy Hagar. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, well, thank you. I like that intro. Like, you know, not just a rocker, but, you know, king of cocktails as well.
Yeah, think about that.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, Dane, I think I might be the guy that invented. No, you know what? Frank Sinatra invented walking out on stage and having somebody bring him a cocktail. He'd stand there halfway through the show, light up a cigarette, though, which I would never do, and you know, bring up a martini and stir it up, a couple olives, and sit there and sing a song with a martini in his hand.
Well, I mean,
I stole it from him.
No, I mean, it fits right through. It's obviously a huge impact in the world of music, all the solo stuff, and of course as front man for one of the greatest bands ever in Van Halen, still rocking it with Mikey, Jason, Vic, new album from The Circle. But I gotta tell you though, Sammy, when it comes to street cred on the spirit side, there's absolutely no one who has done what you have done. You know, celebrities are getting on the spirits game. You've walked that walk for many years, Cabo Wabo, Beach Bar Rum, and now Santo, long before it was a thing.
Yeah, I gotta admit that when I started the whole Cabo Wabo thing back like in 1988, I built a brand and sold a tequila brand before any of these other guys even got in the whole business. They weren't even thinking about it yet. And now, you know, I see a lot of interviews and magazine articles in Spirits World about, you know, George Clooney, you know, started this trend, and I'm going, George Clooney, they stole it from me. Wait a minute. I was too early. So, you know, I don't get half the credit for it, but I don't need any credit. It's really a fun business. I mean, everyone probably thinks I'm a good businessman. I'm not a good businessman. I just have a lot of good ideas and I work hard. Like, in other words, if I get an idea, I go to work on trying to make it happen. I don't just throw it out there and see what happens. No, I freaking roll up my sleeves, you know, go on tour, put a stage together, the Cabo Wabo stage that I did with the Wabos years ago, and have waitresses bringing me drinks and, you know, promoting Cabo Wabo, and become the number two selling premium tequila in the world.
Oh.
And after I sold it, I'm going, I miss this stuff. So I started Santo. I started rum first, Beach Bar rum, and then I started Santo. But it's a fun business. I can't tell you how much fun it is.
Well, you look at it, what you did on the proof of concept side, there are so many people who probably refer back to Cabo Wabo and say, this is how it can be done. This is how you can have fun with it, have it be a successful business. But Sammy, I got to believe back then there wasn't, you know, now it's probably turnkey, right? There's probably, it's so you probably had to learn a lot about the business to create those relationships to even get the thing going.
Oh yeah, the road is paved now, man. I was four-wheeling, brother. I was off-road. I was definitely in the boonies, you know, inventing the process of how do you do this, you know. And I remember Warren Buffett hired me when I wrote my book, and he read the story, the Cabo Wabo story, about how I built that brand, not knowing anything about it, the business. I knew nothing about the business. I just did it what I felt in my heart. This sounds like fun. Oh, I can do this, and oh, I can do that. And Warren Buffett hires me to speak at his GE summit that he does every year for like 1,000 of his CEOs, presidents of all of his companies. And he had me speaking, right?
Wow.
And I'm going, why did you want me to speak? He had me interviewed by Becky Quick, I think her name is, a financial lady on TV. Anyway, I said, why'd you have me do this, Warren? I said, man, I don't even have an education, man, much less a CEO quality. And he goes, I read your book, and you think out of the box, and you got to teach these guys out there how to do that. Because he said, they're just going by the book, man. And he was totally impressed with the fact that I did it without any knowledge of it. And that's what made it fun. It was exciting, you know. Every time something happened, you go, oh, wait, all right, that worked. Well, the one thing that's exciting about it, I could tell the other artists that are in that, you know, trying to get into some kind of business like this. When I would walk into a bar, or a liquor store or a department store or whatever, and see Cabo Wabo on the shelf at the back bar, it would be so friggin' exciting. It'd be like, oh my God, they have my booze. Oh man, I'd be jumping up there. Hey, everybody, I'm buying. Man, I'd be buying. You know, they would deplete about three bottles. You know, in the early days, I'd get so damn excited because it's like when you wrote a song and you heard your song on the radio for the first time. When I was in Montrose, I'm driving down the street and I heard Bad Motor Scooter or Rock Candy on the radio for the first time. I mean, I about peed my pants, man. You know what I mean? It was like, my God, oh my God. I couldn't even hear it. It was, you know, I'm listening, but I was so excited. You can't even hear it. You want to hear it again. Well, let me hear it again so I can see what it sounds like. And so it's like that. It's honestly that close to being to music.
I was gonna ask you that, and to have you share that is so cool, because it's gotta be, you know, because it's like your baby, and it's like one of those things in a brand. And then to see it there at the, you know, at the store and liquor store, it is exactly like hearing your song on the radio.
It really is. It's so, you know, that's how you relate to it. And to be honest with you, the way you promote it is the same way you would promote your music. What do? You got a new record, you go out on tour, you do interviews, you talk about your record, and they play your record. Well, you could do the same thing with your booze. You kind of go out on tour, you invite, you know, let's some big department store, like in Chicago, you'd invite Benny's, you know, you'd invite the buyer from Benny's down and to this concert, bring them backstage, treat them like rock and roll stars, and then they get to taste it. You say, come on, let's have a shot there, and they're going, wow, this is really good. And in the right environment, it even tastes better. So, and then they get to see a rock and roll show, and the next day you're in Benny's. You know, it's really kind of the same process that you. That's the way I did it. It's not normal way to do it, but
you're a special kind of ambassador for it. I got to say too, on the rum side, you look at the correlations on the music. What you have here with Sammy's Lost Cask, I mean, it's really like the equivalent of like an unreleased album, right, or historic lost concert.
Exactly. You're nailing it, Dane. You're nailing it. You're telling these folks out there, everybody that's listening, you're hearing exactly how it works, that what makes people want to do this. Like, you go, why would you want to be in the liquor industry? It doesn't matter. I could have been making broomsticks or something. You know what I mean? It's just kind of the same thing.
But Sammy,
the Lost Casket, yeah, it was unbelievable. It's like I forgot about it.
How does that phone call happen? Because it isn't the kind of thing that you would, like, normally in this business, and to let the listeners know, you know, you wouldn't let it just, you would have done something with it before now. So I think it's just a benefit to, like, the fans and to you and everybody that you have this. So what was it, a phone call saying, hey, are you going to ever pick this up? What was it like?
Yeah, almost. It's so funny because it was almost that stupid. So the deal was, I used to make the rum in Hawaii when I first started, in Maui. Pure cane sugar, cut down the cane, take it right down the hill from Haile Mailea to this old CNH sugar factory that opened up one little section to make my rum for me, to make, turn it into sugar. Then they drive it back up to the distillery and, you know, do the whole nine yards and make this wonderful rum. But it was so expensive to make. You know, white rum is, you can buy a bottle of it for like $9, not mine, but, you know, about $17, so it's a little bit higher end stuff. But this rum was from Hawaii, was about $40 a bottle, and nobody was going to buy that. But anyway, so I said, let's just put some in barrels, and, you know, had four or five barrels, and the fans used to go up and visit the distillery, and we'd have them sign the barrels, you know, and say, hey, you know, sign the barrels while they're up there, so that my distiller. So we got these barrels with all these signatures on them, and they were stacked up in the corner in the back, because eventually I said, I can't make the rum here anymore. It's too expensive in Hawaii. I'm moving to Puerto Rico. Went down to Puerto Rico, found people to make the rum that I wanted to make, and then I just forgot about it. It was just sitting in Hawaii at this place, and that's exactly what happened. Finally, the guy that owns it, the Levesque, called up and said, what do you want to do with those barrels? And they told my guy that ran, the president of my company, at Sammy's Beach Bar Rum and Beach Bar Cocktail Company. And he goes, what rum? And he said, well, let me talk to Sammy about this. He calls me and goes, do you know anything about some barrels? I said, oh my God. You know, you get busy and you move on, and, you know, you're just kind of going through your life. I would have taken it out in about 4 or 5 years,
yeah,
because it, you know, I was going to taste it all the time and see how it was doing. And boy, for it to have gone 10 years is just a miracle. I would have never had the patience to wait. Every year I'd have been saying, oh, this is so good, we got to do it now. You know, because it's after about 4 years, it just starts getting really good. And rum is like that. It gets concentrated and it gets caramelized and it just turns into this thing that's just different than any other booze. So anyway, so we just pulled it out and had these beautiful bottles made and designed this wonderful label and said, what are we going to call it? I wanted to call it R.I.P., Rested in Paradise, because it was rested in Maui, you know, and so it's kind of nicknamed R.I.P., but it's really, it's the Lost Cask. It's just like when you write some songs for an album, you have a few left over, they're just stuck in some corner somewhere on this little piece of tape, you know, sometimes even a cassette, and they, you know, it's thrown in a closet, and one day you go to open up that closet, you go, oh, what the hell is this? And you start digging through, and you go, holy crap, you know, I've got 12 good songs in here, you know. So,
well, these are going to be amazing.
Same exact thing.
It's like $2.99. You talked about the bottle. Of course, you're going to autograph each and every one of them. Just
only 75 for my birthday this year. We're only doing 75, and it's random. So you can't order it. It's the same price for all of them. And if you get a signed one, it's like Willy Wonka. Come on, you get the golden, what was it, the golden candy bar or something?
The golden
like that.
Ticket, yes. So when you came up with the bottle and you were designing, it's kind of like the album cover, where you're thinking, okay, well, this is going to be something that the people are going to keep, right? This is going to be a keepsake. It isn't going to be just another bottle, even of something great. So how was that thought process? You want to keep, you know, Sammy's, you know, Beach Bar rum vibe, but you want to have it be special.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the guy that does all my logo stuff and my album covers, the same guy, Todd Galapo, who did, you know, every record I've made since Red Voodoo, going way back to right after Van Halen. He's done all my liquor bottles, my posters, blah, blah, blah. So he just started going to work on it. And little by little, we're going, you know, what do we want it to look like? I said, well, it's got to be clear, nice and clear glass so that you can see the color of the rum because it's gorgeous. And, you know, then how much information can we get on the bottle without cluttering it up? Because there is a story here. So he just went little thing here. Little, how about this? How about this? How about this? How about this? And when it was done, I'm going, holy crap, make about 10 extra bottles. You know, we don't have enough booze to fill them all, but make me about 10 extra bottles. I'm going to sit them around the house, put candles in them, you know.
Nice.
Old school, you know. It is. The packaging is not over the top. It's just right. It looks like it's right.
We're going to have pictures of it at WGNRadio.com for that. And what a gift for the fans, too, on this. And, of course, how they can get those 75 bottles. You know, when it comes to, like, your life and making music that people love and celebrate with, and, you know, the two spirits, whether it's a rum or tequila, they're both really aligned with having a good time. And as an example, you don't see a lot of port wine concert series or big parties based around scotch. Are the spirits that you, Sammy, love and love to make, are they your favorites because of maybe the total vibe, the camaraderie with other fans of those spirits, how they're getting together for good times, or is it just a coincidence?
No, it's exactly, it's, you know, how I feel in life. It's the way I like, in other words, if I'm going to go out on a night and, you know, get a little buzz on and play some music and have a good time, it started at the Cabo Wabo. It's tequila. It's really, really the drink, you know, and the way I like to drink is I'll do, I walk in my dressing room or into the bar and I'm getting ready, got an hour from to go on stage. I'll do a shot with a few friends and then maybe, you know, a few minutes later, we'll do another shot and then, okay, that's it for me. Everybody else said, oh, give me another shot. And then about eight shots later, they're on the ground, you know. So I know I got brakes on my car. So then I'll sip a margarita. When I walk out on stage, I'm sipping a margarita, sit it down, play some music, get sweat going, get so, you know, all of a sudden you don't even have a buzz anymore. Maybe do another shot, you know, here and there. So you just pace yourself throughout the night. Shot margarita, shot margarita, shot margarita. And that's my tequila, rock and roll, fun nighttime thing. During the day, when you're poolside, I don't drink much during the day. I really don't like to have a buzz during the day. So if I'm going to have some kind of a poolside or beach cocktail, rum is the perfect thing because it's a mixer. You mix it with some nice juice or some bubbly water and a little, you know, a slice of orange, a slice of lime. You know, it's rum is the more gentle thing for just having a good time, being sociable with friends. The afternoon, you get someplace 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You don't want to start pounding tequila. You know, you have a nice rum cocktail. And that's why I made rum. And the idea is of listening to music. You know, you sit there and if you're listening to my music or you're in my cantina, one of my restaurants or cantinas, and you're drinking my booze and you're listening to my music, you get a full experience. That's a lot different than listening to Led Zeppelin and drinking Jimmy Buffett's beer. You know what I mean?
We'll have pictures up and links at WGNRadio.com. Just a dream life, Sammy Hagar. When you first started out, obviously it's every kid's dream. I mean, on your business card to be a rock star is one thing. Maybe, I don't know, a fighter pilot or something like, or heavyweight champion of the world, right? There's some other cool titles too. Did you think that when you got to be 75, you would still be kicking it, you would still be rocking huge crowds, and that you'd be signing, you know, not only like girls, right, but also, or albums or whatever, but you'd be signing your own cookbooks too.
Buddy, this is the dream I never dreamt. Okay, yes, you're 100% right. I've gone so far beyond my dream that it's, I don't know how to explain it. Either I'm the luckiest guy in the world or the hardest working guy in the world, or maybe both. But, you know, I really never dreamt this one. You know, I dreamt to be a rich and famous rock star. That was it. I mean, and I thought I would be that. When I was dreaming that, I thought Montrose, the level I was at in Montrose, would have been that. But it wasn't. You know, as great as Montrose was and all that, I mean, when I left Montrose, I was broke, man. I had to go on unemployment. And it's like, you know, people say, what? I'm going, yeah. You know, I know the record sold about 7 million records since then. But at the time, it had only, you know, sold about 80,000 records. You know, we never were even on the top 200. And we never headlined anywhere except for Paris and San Francisco. Two places we were huge. But, you know, the rest of the world, we were open for anybody, you know. And, so, you know, I just, that dream, I realized then that the dream might have to be a little bit bigger. So I started dreaming a little bit bigger. But like I said, once you join a band like Van Halen, and, you know, biggest band in the world at that time, we were like, you know, it seemed like, okay, there's the rock and roll dream. But it wasn't like I wasn't satisfied. And it wasn't like I was looking for the next big thing. No. I was totally satisfied. I had enough money and ideas to try to create something else, because I'm a creative person, and the creative process is the best part of the whole thing. That's what everybody's got to realize, Dane, is that what you get in the end is like, damn, that was fun. I want to do that again. You know, it's you don't just go, whew, I made it. I'm done. I mean, I don't even know how to think like that. So it's all it did is one door just opens another door, and another door opens another door. Pretty soon you're just saying, wow, I can do anything. And just follow your passion and your heart and roll up your sleeves, brother, because it don't come to you. You got to go out and get it.
You're one of the hardest working people out there, obviously, right? But you say the creative thing just kind of takes you in different directions. You've taken all of your fans along the entire time for that ride, whether it's the flavors, whether it's the music, whether it's all of the fun and excitement, always that, right? If you look up fun and excitement in the dictionary, there's a picture of Sammy Hagar. So, Sammy, I want to thank you for what you do and all that you have done and given. And, of course, now you've got these extra casts with the Lost Cast. We'll have links up for that. And, of course, all the cool stuff you and Guy are doing with Santos. So thanks for jumping on the show today.
Hey, Dane, thank you, man. I love what I do. Obviously, otherwise I wouldn't be doing it. I'm sitting here at my house. I'm looking out at the beach right now saying, it's calling my name. So, yeah, good. I'm going to go take a walk on the beach, then I'll be back, and then I'll go back to work. I'll invent something new. So, all right, thanks, buddy. I want to tell all the redheads out there, I love you more than probably you even know. And without my fans, brother, I'm just some guy sitting around with a dream. You know what I mean? They help it come true.